Track 6, London Landmarks. I always enjoy hearing someone talking about a place or a building which means a lot to them, and this month is no exception, as it's a place that I have visited on several occasions. So here's Baroness Lola Young talking about the Palm House in Kew Gardens.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so.
I'm Baroness Lola Young of Hornsey. I'm actually a North London girl. I was brought up in Tufnell Park and I've lived in Hornsey, of course, but I've chosen somewhere in South West London as my landmark. It's the Palm House at Kew Gardens, that enormous piece of Victorian architecture that houses some of the most exotic and threatened plants in the world. When I was a girl, you could get all the way from Tufnell Park to Kew on the number 27 bus. I think the first time I went was with a school friend and her parents, and it felt as though we were going on a big adventure, an expedition to a foreign land. It cost a penny to get in, and I'm talking about the late 1950s, so that's one old penny. I remember the excitement of going inside the Palm House and finding bananas growing here in England. Remember, this was a time when there was nothing like the variety of fruit and vegetables you can buy today. No peppers or pomegranates. And as I recall, even bananas were still quite an exotic fruit a few years after the end of World War II. The best way to reach the Palm House is through the Victoria Gate entrance. Turn right and you'll hear the splashing of an ornamental fountain on your right as you walk past the lake. On your left, you'll pass a neatly trimmed hedge, and along it, at regular intervals, you'll find benches and grey Portland stone statues of heraldic animals. They're the Queen's beasts, 10 in all, displaying the shields and emblems of the Queen's ancestors. The first you'll come across is the Greyhound of Richmond, and at the far end of the hedge, over 100 metres away, is the last, the Falcon of Plantagenet. The beasts are over 2 metres high, sitting on their haunches on cylindrical stone plinths, holding shields in front of them. You can touch the statues and discover the fleur-de-lis, harps, roses, dragons and lions on their shields. And behind that hedge is the Palm House, rising in gentle white curves and mounds out of the gardens that surround it. The structure is a skeleton of slender white-painted glazing bars holding 16,000 narrow panes of glass in place. If you laid the glazing bars end to end, they'd stretch 10 miles, which gives you an idea of the size of the building. But it appears almost delicate, light and airy as a cloud. There's a central dome standing over 20 metres high and two long side wings about half that height, that stretched to left and right, a total of nearly 110 metres, curving down at their tips. The Palm House measures 30 metres deep from front to back at the widest point of the dome. It was originally built between 1844 and 1848. The designer was the architect Decimus Burton, but the man responsible for putting his ideas into practice was an Irish ironworker, Richard Turner. Turner used shipbuilding techniques to span the large widths, which removed the need for supporting columns and gave the palms more space to grow. It's not surprising, then, that some people think it looks a bit like an upturned ship, with the side wings forming the decks and the dome acting as the hull. The Palm House was renovated between 1984 and 1988, when it was completely dismantled and rebuilt, with toughened safety glass and stainless steel glazing bars to the same specifications as the original. To get inside, you walk up a short flight of stone steps and in through a towering arched pair of glass and white-painted doors in the centre of the dome. Immediately, you're in a rainforest. Your nostrils are filled with a musky scent, and you feel the damp warmth from the fine jets of water spray that create the moisture the plants thrive on. You may hear the twitter of birds, although that'll be a cheeky robin that sneaked in rather than a bird of paradise. And everywhere, there are gigantic trees and plants with round leaves, spiked leaves, feathery leaves, fan-shaped leaves, every shape and every shade of green imaginable. In the wing to the left, you'll find the plants of Africa, to the right, the plants of Australasia, and in the centre, reaching right up to the glass ceiling of the dome, the tallest plants of all. Among them is the tallest tree in the Palm House, the Attaleia butyrachia. or oil palm. It's a monster of a palm with a thick grey-brown fibrous trunk and fronded leaves 2 metres long, standing upright like a feather duster, brushing the roof of the dome. It grows in Central and South America, where its leaves are used to make baskets, brooms, mats and thatches. As you make your way around the palm house, there are one or two features to be aware of. You'll walk on wide paths with the plants on either side in beds bordered by shin-high and sometimes hip-high walls. The paths are covered by metal grids with holes in, which are a good tactile reference if you use a cane. If you're a guide dog owner, though, it's possible your dog may not want to go forward over the metal grids. Some of the larger plants overhang the paths at head height, forcing visitors to duck out of their way. I realise I'm making it sound a bit hazardous, but it really is worth the trip. It's a heady mixture of sensations, a riot of nature in southwest London. There are far too many plants to mention them all, but there are a few that are particularly important. At the far end of the left-hand wing is the oldest pot plant in the world. It's a cyad, a type of plant that predates the dinosaurs. It has stiff, fronded leaves, and the woody trunk is about as thick as a man's thigh and snakes over 4 metres almost horizontally. It was collected in 1770 in South Africa by Francis Masson, one of Kew's first collectors, and has been here since the palm house was built. In the right-hand wing is the bow tree, sacred to Buddha, with big heart-shaped leaves. And there's also the ylang ylang, whose fragrant yellow star-shaped petals are scattered on the beds of newlyweds in its native Indonesia. And here you'll find bananas. Not a tree, but a giant herb, with the fruit hanging in heavy clusters like the upright fingers of a cupped hand. If you want to explore the full height of the palm house, there are white, wrought iron, tightly spiralled staircases at the end of each wing. The moisture has made orange traces of iron leach through the white paint of the banisters and the rosettes that decorate them. The staircase in the right-hand wing leads up to a narrow walkway with waist-high railings. The one on the left leads down again. At the top, there's a view along a straight grassy path all the way to Sion Park on the other side of the Thames. Walking back down, if you continue into the basement, there are tanks of brilliantly coloured tropical fish. I've been coming to Kew all through my life. I'm a great walker, and when working in Brentford in my late teens, I used to walk here, although I was shocked to find the entrance fee had risen to threepence. It's a place to visit in all seasons. It's less crowded in the autumn and winter months, and you can take your time to explore. It was only as I got older that I realised how closely Kew is linked with Britain's colonial history. I also came to recognise its importance in understanding the environment. It's important to me in a personal way too, ever-changing and yet constant. It's like a punctuation mark throughout my life.
Thank you to the Baroness for that. She certainly conjures up the atmosphere of all those exotic plants. And she's absolutely right about humidity being no good for the hair.